Hey, welcome to another beautiful day at Stephen F. Austin State Park. We are going to take a short cruise around the park and see what's happening, and then I might take you on a little dirt road. I've been exploring for some time since I've lived here at the Stephen F. Austin State Park. I've been exploring some dirt roads. It's one of my favorite things to do on the KLR 650. But today, what we're going to do today in this episode of the Missional Money Podcast, by the way, I am Jim Munchback. I am the host of the Missional Money Podcast. And this episode, I want to share with you the blueprint for financial success. Actually, what I want to do is I want to teach you how to create a purpose-centered financial plan using a tool that I designed that I talk about in my book, Make Your Money Count. The tool is really a metaphor for financial planning. It's called the blueprint for financial success. And the reason that I say I want to teach you how to create a purpose-centered financial plan using the blueprint is because the blueprint is designed to walk you through a very specific kind of financial planning process. It starts with what matters most to you. So the name of the book is Make Your Money Count. The subtitle is Connecting Your Resources to What Matters Most. And so if you're a financial planner, if you're a certified financial planner in particular, you know you're taught, you're trained. We as CFPs are trained to help folks create a holistic, comprehensive financial plan that includes all seven of the, what they call the elements of personal financial planning. I guess that's what they call it, the elements. And so as you look at the blueprint, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to put on the screen the blueprint for financial success. It's a little windy today, and I picked a terrible time as far as the sunshine to try to video. I used my iPhone to video the blueprint just to show you the full size of the blueprint, what it looks like when you open it up, and each of the sections of the blueprint, which is what I'm going to talk about in this episode as I walk you through the process of creating a financial plan, a very purpose-centered financial plan using the blueprint. So you'll notice that there are sections on the front of the blueprint, and that's what I want to talk about first. In the first part of this video, I want to talk about the front of the blueprint, and then we'll talk in part two about the back of the blueprint. And the back of the blueprint, by the way, is really it's really laid out for the financial professional. So years ago, when I designed this tool, the blueprint, digital things were not nearly as common. So today, I'm going to tell you that the paper blueprint has been replaced by a digital blueprint, which is a fantastic tool, and I'll share more about that in the weeks ahead. But today I just want to introduce you to this tool, the Blueprint for Financial Success, and help you understand where it came from, how to use it, why it matters for you. And if you're following along, and I hope you do, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button. It doesn't cost you anything. Hit subscribe if you want to be notified when we post new videos. This is the Missional Money Podcast is being posted in iTunes and Stitcher and anywhere podcasts are played, but it is also a video podcast. So if you go to my channel at Jim Munchback, Munchback has an H on the end, you'll find a podcast playlist. And this episode, along with all of the episodes for this season, will be posted in this playlist. So today, the blueprint for financial success, and as we move forward in the podcast, I'm going to cover each of the seven elements of financial planning in more detail. And if I haven't mentioned it yet, I'm just going to mention the FreeTIC financial planning process. It's just an acronym that I designed and I talk about in the book to help you remember each of the elements of the financial planning process as we walk through the blueprint. So again, we're in part one, which is the front of the blueprint. And on the front of the blueprint, we have three different sections. In the first section, which is the most important section, is what I call what matters most. And in this first section of the blueprint, this is really where, as a professional, if you're a financial planning professional, or if you work with folks in any capacity where you give advice for financial planning, you do some type of process that we call discovery. And you may do it very differently than I do it, but when I started in this business, the discovery process, which I always understood to be a very important process, it was challenging. It was very challenging for me when I became a certified financial planner, because I felt tremendous pressure to gather a ton of information, which is really pretty necessary to do a good job as a financial planner and to achieve the main objective as a CFP, which is to help someone create a comprehensive or holistic financial plan. That was overwhelming to me, to go through that process, to sit down with someone and, you know, have a meeting that was productive but also meaningful and compelling. And so as I struggled with that for a couple of years, I learned a process. I'll tell you, I learned a process that was really an important part of the this financial planning residency program that I may have talked to you about, where mentors came together and they taught us from their experience in financial planning. They taught us the tools that they used and gave us some really tremendous tips. And after that retreat or residency program, it was in Philadelphia in Bryn Mawr at the American College. That has been one of the most meaningful and helpful experiences of my professional life. But it was there that I started to formulate a more systematic discovery process. Last week we talked about your first memories of money, and I shared with you that in the discovery meeting, that's a very important question that I always ask, because it just really tells me a lot. It helps me understand you and your experience with money and what makes you tick. And so if you didn't listen to that episode, you might want to go back and just listen to understand how the first memories of money, how your first memories of money play into the discovery process. And really, your first memories of money kind of set the table. They help you understand how you think about money, how you behave when it comes to money. So check it out. That was last week's episode. This week, the blueprint for financial success. Like I said, the first section is what matters most. It's the foundation, your core values, your vision. And what I really try to identify is your purpose. Like, if you know, if you can articulate your purpose in life, that's what matters most. If you can be clear about that, then the process of creating a financial plan becomes a lot more relevant, a lot more compelling, a lot more powerful. And obviously, if I'm a professional trying to help you create a financial plan, in the past, I've seen so many financial planners put together this massive document, this massive, huge thing that they throw down and call your financial plan. And I promise you, when I became, when I became a certified financial planner, I was in a unique position because I was a State Farm agent. I was the first, there goes a dump truck. I'm, by the way, outside of the Stephen F. Austin State Park on a road that's called Peter's San Felipe, I believe is the name of this road. And I'm going to show you something here in just a minute. I'm going to point to, this is the back of the Stephen F. Austin State Park. This road was closed until just recently. So I've only gone down this road one time. And so if you look over there, you will see the gate to the back of the park. So we just drove through there when we went through the park. So behind me, that is the back of the Stephen F. Austin State Park. And there is a gate there. I'm going to let this truck go past me. And I think I'll just pull over here and sit at the back of this gate, so you can see that I'm at the back of the Stephen F. Austin State Park. And I'm going to turn off the motorcycle for a minute and just finish talking about the blueprint, and then I'll get back on the bike and we'll go for a nice ride. So when I became a certified financial planner, I was the first and only State Farm agent in the Houston area to be a certified financial planner. And you know, State Farm had a lot of training, and most of it was, well, I hate to say it was mediocre at best. In some ways, it was fantastic. We had great people who cared a lot. But most of the training that I received in preparing to become a State Farm agent, as well as the training I received in becoming a certified financial planner while I was a State Farm agent, all of that training had a tremendous common denominator, which was we were significantly concerned about making sure we were fully compliant. And so the training I received all through my it was called an internship at State Farm. When I went from working in the claims department to becoming a certified financial planner, I went into agency and then became a certified financial planner. And State Farm's training throughout the entire process was so heavy loaded with everything you could possibly imagine to make sure you dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's. But what they were missing, what I was missing, what was incredibly important, and if you've ever been in sales, you know, what's incredibly important is sales training. And I was kind of a natural sales guy. I wasn't afraid of selling, but I was just dying as a State Farm intern learning how to become a State Farm agent, because there was no training for sales. Like, they did not teach you how to sell. And if you didn't sell, you didn't survive. You literally would not continue to be a State Farm agent. The program I went through, in fact, there were 12 of us in this internship program that lasted about 6 months. During that 6 months, I bet State Farm spent $150,000 on each of us getting our new agencies set up. We took over agencies from agents who were retiring. So it was a great program. We started off with an agency. I started off in a place called Ridgeway, Pennsylvania. I was the only State Farm agent in the town, and when I started, I had 2,000 to the number, 2,000 automobiles in my agency. So it was a gift from State Farm, and I always have appreciated that gift. But here's the deal: out of 12 of us, only 4 of us were still State Farm agents after 1 year. Eight of the folks in our internship program did not make it. Now, if that tells you anything about the State Farm training program for their sales professionals, it tells you it's not great, and it wasn't great. And so when I became a certified financial planner, I knew that, well, I'd moved back to Houston, and I was in the NASA Clear Lake area where folks were very sophisticated. And so I wanted to be more sophisticated. I wanted to understand finance better. And so I spent a tremendous amount of time and energy to become a certified financial planner. But when I got to the point where I took the TET exam and I passed the exam and I was a CFP, I knew there was still a lot more for me to learn. And that is when I found out about the FPA. That's the Financial Planning Association Residency Program. That's where I met Rich and Cara and several other mentors who shared really the gems of how to be a financial planner. And it was a fantastic program. But I was the only State Farm agent who was a CFP. I was the only person in this residency program who was a State Farm agent. Because State Farm did what State Farm always does, I think they still do, is they set up a residency program that was specifically for State Farm agents because they wanted to make sure we were being taught everything that would help us cross the T's and dot the I's. And I decided I wanted something outside of the box. So I went to Philadelphia and signed up for the residency program that was not affiliated with State Farm. And it was a brilliant, wonderful, awesome program. So back to the blueprint. When I finished the residency program, I still knew there was something missing. So I signed up for another program, a very expensive program called, it was Bill Bachrach. If you're a financial advisor, if you're a financial planner, you've probably heard of Bill Bachrach and the roadmap, the financial roadmap. And he had this seminar, this workshop out in California, in San Diego, beautiful place, very expensive. And they taught us how to do the discovery process using his tool called the roadmap, the financial roadmap. And I met some unbelievable people there, including a man named Doug Carter, who was a Dale Carnegie professional who had worked with Bill Bachrach to help him develop the tool that he used, the financial roadmap. I've spent many, 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 many hours with Doug Carter since then. He has become one of the most important, valuable people in my professional life. I've gone to where he lives in Mount Shasta, California, several times for his workshops, and we've gone all over the country to do his summit. We being financial planning professionals who come together for training and to share best practices. And anyway, all that to say, I met Doug at this Bill Bachrach very expensive seminar that I went to after the residency program. And in this program, Bill Bachrach's program, I'm going to go ahead and get moving because it's kind of hot sitting here in the sun. So, and it's more, I'm sure it's much more appealing for you to see something like this road we're going to go down. This is going to turn into a dirt road. And if we get far enough down this road, you will get to see an Acme brick plant, which is just about to go into shutdown because they're going to rebuild, they're going to retool the entire Acme brick. It's going to be amazing. Like, they're going to put robotics in. And I've been talking to the management there about getting a tour and maybe getting inside to share with you some of what they're going to be upgrading as far as their plant. So that's coming up on this dirt road. It's not a dirt road yet, but it will be. And then after that, there is a Schwitzer, auction, sorry about that, where they auction off all kinds of really cool stuff. And their auction is coming up in about 20 days or 14 days, and there's not a lot of stuff there. So if we make it that far today, I'll just show you around. I met with management there as well, and they gave me permission to bring my drone and my bike and just drive around and look at things. So we will do that in an upcoming episode, not today. If we make it there today, it'll just be to say, hey, this is the road we took, and here's what we're looking at. But we will get there, and you will get to see some cool footage from both of those locations. But back to the blueprint. So I was in San Diego with, there were 400 people at this. It was a huge group. And it was actually set up for financial planners that worked for State Farm. So I get a call from this dude. He's a State Farm agent in Mississippi, I do believe. I can't remember his name. But he told me they were putting together this group, a special group for State Farm agents to learn how to use the roadmap. He said, check it out. He's Bill Bachrach. You've probably heard of him, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, hey, that's cool. So I went there to this workshop, or it was a seminar, conference, whatever you want to call it. It was like I spent more than $10,000 total with Bill Bachrach and his tools and technology. But in this particular conference, they taught us how to go through the discovery process. And the way they did it, it was very simple. I'm going to share it with you right quick. They taught you how to ask this one question, but the question was just to begin the conversation. And the question was, they call it the WIAT question, W-I-A-T, why? What's important about money to you? And it's a great question. I still, to this day, ask that question. And so it's kind of like I start with, what's your first memories of money? Because that question opens folks up and it gives them a chance to think about money in a different way, in a different context. And it's super helpful. But then I'll ask a question like, and you'll see this on the blueprint, because I'm going to share where the blueprint came from. But this conference, this question, what's important about money to you, and the financial roadmap and Bill Bachrach's training, is all kind of an important part of why the blueprint exists and why I wrote my first book called What Matters Most. So we go through this, you know, it was a really helpful workshop, I guess you could say, because they trained us kind of like robots how to ask this question, what's important about money to you? Now, if I ask my wife, what's important about money to you, her first answer would be something like security. And if you ask me that question, my first answer would be freedom, you know, having options. That's what's important about money to me. The more money I have, the more options I have. But my wife, Connie, who's opposite for me, her answer would be security. But that's just the beginning of the process. What's important about money to you is a question that has lots of layers, okay? And so we were taught how to ask this question almost like robots. What's important about money to you? And if you said security, if that was your answer, then my next statement would be, what's important about security to you? And we were supposed to do it exactly like that. And then if you said, which my wife would say, well, what's important about security to me is having enough money to take care of my family and provide for their needs. Then my response would be, well, Connie, what's important about having enough money and taking care of your family's needs to you? And that's what we would do until there was like the final answer. No, that's it. That's what matters most. I mean, they would say it in some way, but my job and our job, we were being trained to do something that was incredibly powerful and really turned some lights on for me. It was to ask this question, what's important about money to you, but not stop there. Just keep asking until you get to the bottom of it. And if you look at a roadmap, I'll throw up a picture of the roadmap, and you'll see it. To me, it looks kind of like a cartoon. And it's very, very simple. It's not a very technical tool. And as a certified financial planner, to me, the roadmap was missing a lot of important detail. And I thought I could improve it, which is what I did with the Blueprint for Financial Success. And I wrote a book. Bill Bachrach wrote a book about how to use the roadmap. And it was okay, but it was the roadmap. It was like using a financial roadmap cartoon, in my opinion, as a certified financial planner. It just did not work for me. And then I went back home to Texas, where I had my State Farm agency. Man, it's a beautiful day. And I started asking the question to clients, what's important about money to you? And then I would ask them, you know, what's important about that to you? And it just seemed so inauthentic. And so I went back and did some more training with Bachrach, and I shared with them kind of what my challenges were, and they had no answer. It was all the same thing, like, you need to do this and stick to the script. And after a while, it just became clear to me. First of all, I was a State Farm agent, okay? So imagine being a captive agent, and you basically get paid for selling insurance, and you happen to be this oddball dude who is also a certified financial planner trying to do financial planning. Well, the process that they taught worked for people who got paid to help people manage money, but basically I got paid to sell life insurance, car insurance, home insurance. And I learned pretty quickly that being a certified financial planner and a State Farm agent was just not a really good idea. That's when I went to work on Wall Street at Morgan Stanley, and that's a whole nother story. I went to work on Wall Street in the wealth management department, and I'll tell you that story in more detail later. But for now, I just want to get back to the blueprint. So I go to this training. I get more and more frustrated. I have all this knowledge in my head from becoming a certified financial planner. And more than that, I have this vision in my head from the mentors that taught me in the residency. And I knew that I was in a position where I could really help people, and I wanted to help people. And I knew it could be a very special experience, and I wanted to figure out how to create a special experience. The discovery process, if you've ever had the privilege of sitting down with someone and having them share their hopes and dreams with you, well, it's a very meaningful process. I mean, even if you're not getting paid for it, if you're just helping people, you know, connect the dots on what matters to them and how they can take next steps to get there, that's an incredibly meaningful experience. And it's something that attracts people to this business of being a financial planner. And, you know, I was attracted to become a State Farm agent because I wanted to make a lot of money. And then I became a State Farm agent in a very affluent, very sophisticated community, Clear Lake, which was NASA. I literally had an astronaut as a client. So it was quite an experience becoming a certified financial planner in Clear Lake, Texas, and then trying to use this process that just felt wrong to me. So anyway, I kept going back to Backrack, spending more money, learning that they didn't really get me or my system. So I wrote a book. It was called What Matters Most. And the book really was designed to help other folks like me who were, you know, not full-time financial planning professionals, but trying to help people create a meaningful financial plan that was based on what matters most, their vision, their values. By the way, there's the Acme Brick Company, and we're going to get inside there one day, but not today. They said we're not allowed to just randomly drive around on the parking lot, so I won't do that today, but I'll get you inside soon. So I wrote this book, What Matters Most, and I wanted to teach other financial professionals who are not necessarily, they certainly weren't trained to be certified financial planners. So I wanted to take what I learned in becoming a certified financial planner and share that with other financial professionals who sold financial products like life insurance, mutual funds, all the things we sold as State Farm agents. And we had a pretty good menu of financial services at that time. So, but we, like I said, nobody taught us how to sell it. Certainly nobody taught us as financial, as State Farm agents, nobody taught us how to put those products and all those, you know, all those products basically into context with a person's holistic financial plan. And that's what I wanted to do. I learned how to do it finally, and I understood it deep in my heart after I walked away from Bill Backrack and knowing that there's a better way, a different way, a way that in my view was more authentic and it had more practical, technical substance, more meat on the bone than the roadmap, the financial roadmap, which I promise when you see it, you tell me what you think, but it just kind of felt like a cartoon, looked like a cartoon. And when I used it with clients, it was all about the question, what's important about money to you? A very important question, and I still use it, but I use it differently. And so I still use the question, what's important about money to you? But I tell people right up front, what I really want to know, what I'm hoping you can help me understand, is what matters most to you. Because if you can help me be really clear about what matters most to you, I can design a financial plan that will be, well, it will motivate you to take the next steps. Not only that, but in designing your financial plan, I can make sure that as I construct your plan, along with the recommendations and the priorities, I will be able to attach each of those steps to specific goals that you share with me that will be directly connected to what matters most to you. So that's where the next section. The first section is the foundation. It is what matters most. The second is what I call the framing of the financial plan. It's basically a fearless financial inventory. We take all of your assets, all of your liabilities, we put them all down, and we do this all in the first meeting. And, you know, generally you bring your spreadsheet with all of your investment accounts and your assets and liabilities, and I take that information and then I start building your plan if we agree that it makes sense for us to work together. But this all happens in the first meeting, and the blueprint, like I said, section two on the front of the blueprint is the framing, and it's where you just we just talk about your assets and liabilities. So then the third section of the front of the blueprint is what I call the finish work, and it's where we start to talk about your goals and your priorities. And I try to help you get very clear. Like, for example, a lot of people say that maybe their number one financial planning goal is retirement, but they don't really have a concrete time when they want to retire. They don't have a concrete number in terms of what they need for income when they retire. They haven't really thought through all of those steps. So when we have this conversation in part three of the blueprint, the finish work, where we talk about goals, that's where I start to help folks get very clear about their financial goals. Because I cannot construct a financial plan for anyone if I don't know specifically exactly what it is we're trying to solve. So it all makes sense. It made sense to me. The blueprint, I needed the blueprint as a struggling new financial planning professional. I needed a tool like the roadmap. Bill Bachrach's roadmap is a tremendous tool, and I'm very grateful that, you know, I was able to participate in his training. It just didn't cut it for me as a certified financial planner. It needed something, and so the blueprint for financial success was the something that it needed, and I still use it today. But like I said, the paper that you saw, that blueprint, we use a digital blueprint. Now, I want to tell you just a little bit about that before I jump into, well, before I end the episode, basically. We're going to leave you with an excerpt from Make Your Money Count, and also a spiritual, kind of spiritual goodbye. Faith, I think we're on day three, so you'll get to hear from the old Blue Book podcast, the Blue Book study. That'll give you something to think about and reflect on in the spiritual realm, and I hope you enjoy that. But before I send you off to hear an excerpt from my book and the final segment from the Blue Book study, I want to just share something that I'm working on right now and this season of the Missional Money podcast. So now that you understand the blueprint, where it came from, how it works, how I use it, why I think it matters, and I told you it's now digital. Well, the cool thing is I've been using at Bayrock Financial, the proud sponsor of this podcast, my company, an independent fiduciary investment management and financial planning company in Houston, Friendswood, Bayrock Financial, that's the company. I started out, when I built Bayrock, I wanted to use the very best of the best technology in doing the business that I do for investment management and for financial planning. And so I chose to use Right Capital as my financial planning software. So we have a premium financial planning portal, and it is built by Right Capital. We have a mobile app. We have a tremendous platform to help you create, in a very short amount of time, a very effective financial plan, a holistic financial plan. And it comes with the blueprint. I'm going to put a little bit of the blueprint on the screen so you can just see what I'm talking about. This is from Right Capital. And this is something I want you to know about, because in this episode and every episode moving forward, I'm going to invite you to participate with me in the Missional Money podcast. I'm going to invite you to join us for $25 a month. You'll receive a lot of benefits. And number one is you'll receive access, for as long as you stay a member, to Right Capital. Now, it's a little different. If you were a client, we would have a relationship that's called a fiduciary relationship. But for $25 a month, this is training, it's education. And so I'm going to make this available to folks who are willing to support us. The money will go to a good cause. I'll use it to help support Caleb and Maddie in their education. $25 a month. Every week, you will get tips and tools for financial planning and investment management. In the next 7 weeks, I'm going to unpack each of the 7 elements of financial planning. If you don't know what they are, I'll show you a picture of the free tick, which is a drawing from the book, and I'll include on the screen there. They're just basically, free tick stands for 7 things: financial independence or retirement planning, but that's what the F is for, financial independence. The R is risk management or insurance planning, one of the biggest components of your budget, insurance. I'll teach you how to make wise choices with your insurance. Next is estate planning, incredibly important. I'll give you tools in each of these coming episodes. I'll give you the ultimate checklist for each of these components. So estate planning, and if you're a parent or a grandparent and you want to provide education for a young person, we'll do a segment on education planning and funding. So free tick, T is tax planning. I was born on April 15th. My first son was born on December 31st. I got like a $1,300 tax credit, and we never even took him home from the hospital, never even changed a diaper. So I was born on tax day. My first son was born on the last day of the year. My second son was born on October 15th, which is the date that you are required to file your corporate income taxes. So all that to say, I was born to be a tax planner. So free tick, the I in free tick stands for investment management, obviously. And then the last letter, C, is cash flow management, cash flow planning. No financial planning works without cash flow. That's what retirement planning is all about. It's cash flow management. So that's what's coming in the next 7 episodes of the Mission of Money podcast. Today we talked about the blueprint for financial success, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you will subscribe. If you listen in iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere that podcasts are played, I hope you'll love, like, leave a 5-star review. It really helps other folks find the episode. And I'm going to leave you, and if you don't watch in iTunes, or listen rather in iTunes, I'll tell you, each of these episodes are constructed to maximize the tools in Apple Podcasts, because Apple Podcasts is, you know, it's an Apple tool, but they have certain features and benefits which I want to make sure we take advantage of. If you're listening in Apple, make sure you look at the show notes. If you're listening on your iPhone or your iPad or your Mac computer, make sure you open the show notes, because that's where the links are. Right to the right here is the auction. So this is the Switzer auction. We're going to drive by the front. You'll get to see the sign, and I'm just going to keep driving today. But we're going to come back when they get it full. The lot is not nearly full right now, but it will be. So what I wanted to say, it's Mark Switzer. So that's the Mark Switzer auction, and they're great people. We'll be coming back there a few times, but we're going to wait until they have a full lot. I'm sorry for the wind. I know it's really messing with the audio right now. So I'm just going to end it here, and I'm going to play an excerpt from Make Your Money Count. I think I'm going to play an excerpt from The Blueprint for Financial Success. And after that, I'm going to share one of my favorite episodes from The Blue Book. So I'll see you next time. And don't forget, for the next 7 episodes, we're going to cover the 7 essential elements of financial planning, starting with financial independence or retirement planning, and then risk management or insurance planning, estate planning, education planning, tax planning, investment management, and cash flow management. And each episode, I'm going to be giving you the ultimate guide for for each of those elements. So you don't want to miss that. I appreciate you leaving a comment, liking, subscribing, and I'll see you next time.
Get a gyroscope. You and I live all day, every day, in the culture of self-indulgence. If we're aware of it, we can do something about it. From my own experience, I've learned that living a life without a transcendent purpose is a dead-end street. Santa Claus isn't going to bail us out. And there's much more to life than barely making it each month or living in fear that no amount of money is enough. For most of us, living a life of purpose will require some adjustments. The question is it worth it? For me, the answer is emphatically yes. I'm still tempted by those messages that I deserve the newest this or the best that, but I'm far more aware of those messages today, so I can more clearly see the choices. Over the past decade, I've been reorienting my life according to the purposes that challenge me and fill my heart with gratitude. As I've looked beyond my own selfish needs and tried to meet some of the needs of those around me, I've seen God use me to touch a few lives, and that both humbles me and thrills me. Sure, I could work harder and make more money, but I've gradually become deeply convinced that there are things more important than a little more money. In his book, The Call, author Oz Guinness described the powerful, clear sense of purpose in the lives of the Puritans as an internal gyroscope that kept them on track no matter what was going on around them. That's what my purpose is becoming for me. Someday, each of us will receive a report card of our attitudes and behaviors. You and I have been given great wealth in time, resources, and abilities. Jesus once remarked, "Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities." Luke 12:48. If we squander those great gifts on meaningless things, we'll regret it now, and we'll regret it even more when the report card comes out. A good grade isn't based on not having any weeds. No, we get a good grade because we had the perception to see the weeds of worry and selfishness, and we mustered the courage to pull them whenever we saw them. I want to be a good weed puller. Think about it. 1. On any list of the top 10 stresses in people's lives, where does money rank for most of us? What does this stress look like? 2. Think about the 4 types of people described in this chapter. What are the thought patterns that keep people in each of those categories? Buried in debt? Barely above water? Bucks in the bank but still worried? Full of purpose and contentment? How are family relationships affected by these thoughts, attitudes, and choices in each category? 3. Look at these descriptions of the 4 types of money managers and circle the specific ones in any category that closely fit your experience. Buried in debt. You often wonder how the bills will get paid. You experience tension with family members about spending. You get a little high from buying something you want, then depressed when the bill comes due. You don't even want to think about money. Barely above water. You would have difficulty paying an unexpected bill of $2,000. You often look at your bank statement to see if you have enough money to pay for things. You experience tension with family members about spending. You love Christmas, but paying bills in January is a stretch. Bucks in the bank, but still worried. You don't think you ever have enough money so you can relax. You are driven to earn more. You experience tension with family members about spending. You often check your fund balances. Full of purpose and contentment. You are thoughtful and responsible in financial planning. You stick to the plan and avoid frivolous spending. Your purpose is a gyroscope that gives you stability and direction. You are thrilled that your life really counts. Based on your answers, which of these best characterizes you as a money manager? Explain your answer. 4. Think of the pervasive nature of advertising and look back at the quotes in this chapter about advertising and consumerism. As best you can, describe the impact of advertising on your choices. How might your choices be different if you weren't exposed to the powerful effects of advertising? 5. What are some ways a strong sense of purpose could be a gyroscope in your life? What difference would it make?
Faith Day 3.
Oh Lord, help me to really believe. Help me to really believe that your heart for me is good. Help me to really believe that nothing can separate me from your love. Help me to really believe that you will do what you say you'll do. Help me to take you at your word. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Faith is a way of seeing. It is a way of opening our eyes to see the world as God sees it. That is the spiritual journey we're taking. A journey to ask God to open our eyes so we may see what there is. Spiritual forces of power that are mighty and invincible, but invisible to the human eye. We read in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is not blind, it is the opposite. Faith is a spiritual way of seeing what our physical eyes alone will never see on their own. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. See Hebrews 11:3. From Spiritual Mentoring by Keith Anderson and Randy Reese. Faith means trust in the infinite mercy of God manifested in the redemptive work of Jesus. From Awakenings by Thomas Keating.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord.
By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Psalm 89, a Maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Selah. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you? You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, high your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. Selah. But now you have cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword, and you have not made him stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. Selah. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you have created all the children of man. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Selah. Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations with which your enemies mock, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen.
Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I've said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Apart from you, I have no good thing. you,
apart from you,
apart from you,
I have no good,
apart from you,
apart from you.